So it's U.S. Thanksgiving, and we thought, well, that's fun. We like kind of participating in it. We watch the football games. We do the Black Friday shopping. But what if someone brought an apron to your Thanksgiving or holiday gathering? What if they did that? I think we were pretty split on this, more than I thought. Listen to the conversation, and you can weigh in on one side or the other.
It is U.S. Thanksgiving, and we saw this in the New York Times. three things to bring to someone else's Thanksgiving dinner. And I took this like, not like you're going to your mom's house or not like you're going to...
So a friend's dinner.
Yeah.
Okay, at their home.
So this seems to be a massive... There's three items. We're going to list the three items. But let's do it right now because we'll play the clip in just a little bit. Number one, your own apron. Here's what they tell you in the New York Times. Upon arrival, hang up your coat, don an apron you brought from home, or better yet, ready for this, wear the apron under your coat so you can reveal it Clark Kent style, stride into the kitchen and declare, I'm here to help. You have just become a holiday hero. That's too in my face.
So you're appalled by this, if someone showed up at your house yes. in an apron.
I think there's a suggestion.
Okay.
Like Jack Nicholson and a few good, you can't handle the kitchen. Okay. You can't handle the big meal.
Let me ask you a question. Who makes the turkey in your house?
Not me.
Who makes the sides?
I can certainly do some side work.
Okay.
I can put a good side session together.
Like what? Name me one
mashed
side
potatoes.
That you make. Okay, so mashed potatoes. Okay, so
bread.
You are... Do you bake the bread from scratch?
No, so rolls. So I can take rolls out of
the plastic.
So you go
to the grocery store, yeah, and you get the rolls and then you put them on a plate. Okay, so... This is a different perspective here. I would love it if someone brought their own apron. I would be so touched. You walk into my house. I've invited you for dinner. It's completely unexpected. And this is your way of showing me that instead of the, you know, let me know how I can help, that passive aggressive way, you're ready. You're ready to roll up your sleeves and actually help me because I've been in this kitchen all day.
I think it's intimidating. What have you picked me up to go to an event or something? And as soon as you picked me up, I'm like, hey, slide over. I'll drive.
No. That's a different situation. I don't need help with the driving. If I've been in the kitchen since 6 a.m. making every single thing possible for this big dinner with a lot of people coming, a lot of pressure, you don't want to burn that turkey. If someone's there, just that symbolic, I would be so touched. I can't believe you brought your own apron.
I'm intimidated. Nice. I'm thinking you're taking over.
Take over.
And by the way, I think you say this as a woman. If a woman comes in with her own apron and starts dominating in the kitchen, and she's doing this and doing that, and it seems like she's got five hands.
Oh, if a man came into my home wearing an apron,
do my
that
woman
would
example.
Be so sexy.
But do my woman example. I don't think you like that. I think she's on your terrain.
I would be so touched. But here's the thing. In my house, if you're actually invited to my house and you're coming into my house, you get that invitation. My house is your house. Like, you go help yourself to whatever. Go wherever you want. Go take a nap if you want in one of the bedroom. Like, make yourself comfortable.
It's got some risk-reward to it. Yeah. Gord, apron, do you want to break the tie here?
I've always found, with experience between my mom and my wife, when they offer to come into the kitchen to help, it's not well-received. Now, if you want to...
You don't receive it well.
No,
they don't.
They don't.
Why?
They wouldn't want it. No.
It's their turf.
But what they do want is, you know what? You want to help? You host Thanksgiving. One year, once.
No way, you guys. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And even if there's nothing to do, I would be like, oh, I love that you brought your own apron.
But wouldn't you want to go to someone's place once and just be a guest?
Let's give you the other two before end of the hour, before top of the hour. Let's give you the other two things the New York Times tells you that you should do. Look how non-territorial we are about our jobs, though. If you hear someone say, I didn't like that bumper coming into that break there, you're like, would you like to do it? Would you like to host Toronto Today?
I do have someone standing behind me.
That's right. She's ready. You're a lot more replaceable than you thought an hour ago.
A monkey dressed up with clothes is...
That's how it works. Really cool. Vicky writes, it's like a man sharing his barbecue. It doesn't have to go that way. I leave the barbecue too often, and then Mrs. Brady comes out, and she's like, why are these black? Why did you leave? Why did you go answer an email? Why did you go, check the pool filter? What's wrong with you? Don't walk too far away from it. So then you can imagine the intimidation I feel Showing up with an unexpected apron is a weird look. I like this topic. We're gonna do it this the rest of the morning. Blow out everything else. 416-870-6400. U.S. Thanksgiving south of the border today. Tomorrow, USA-England is a big game. No question about it. But Iran will play Wales. And Iran's men staged the first notable protest of the game. But it was more towards their own country and obviously the subjugation of women and so many of the public protests that have happened within the last 6-7 weeks in Iran proper. So they'll play Wales tomorrow. What did they do? Well, they didn't sing the national anthem. And you sing in soccer, you sing, you belt it out. You saw the Canadian team do that and do exactly that yesterday. So it'll be very interesting to see where it all goes. I'm pleased to welcome on a professor of political science at U of T and an expert on Iranian-Canadian relations. Ramin Jahanbegloo joins us on Toronto Today. Professor, thanks very much for making the time. I do appreciate you getting up early for us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
What did you make of what the Iranian men did? It's being, you know, described as different things by different sectors. Was it a shot across the bow towards their own government?
Well, the first thing I can tell you is that I can't recall Iranian soccer having been this polarized. And because like many other teams, actually for decades, the Iranian soccer team has been a symbol of national pride and had the support of all Iranians of all walks of life. But at the Qatar World Cup, you saw many Iranians having turned against this team, even supporting England and wearing the British flag in Iran. I mean, this is incredible. I mean, I think this is all has to do mostly with the Iranian authorities having used soccer and soccer players for the past 40 years, and especially for the World Cup, in their own benefit. So it has divided Iranians in two, and certainly not singing the national anthem is not enough for the Iranian protesters. They're even asking for more right now.
So there are certainly people in Iran that didn't like the players doing that, that didn't like them, in essence, thumbing their noses at their government and their country.
Yes, because they thought it's not enough. I mean, we have to understand that it's more than only a few people inside Iran. I mean, you have also the Iranian diaspora outside, which are something around 10 million people. And I think that it has to do with the fact that, of course, we understand that the members of the Iranian soccer team are under a lot of pressure, and they will be even under more pressure playing against Wales, but also against United States and of America on the 29th. But I think this has to do mostly because, you know, they met with the Iranian president just before getting to Qatar, and they should not have done that because it gave the impression that they were supporting the government, which was actually killing people. I mean, something like 400 people have died in the past 10 weeks, including 50 children. And so this is too much. You know, it's we have to imagine Iranian regime today is in a sitting in a place of a regime like apartheid regime during when Mandela was in prison.
Yeah.
So it's the same symbolism, you know, and in between you have these sports people, sportsmen, sportswomen, and we have to understand that there have been some sports women, especially, who have protested against the Iranian Iranian government.
Yeah, and they seem almost under more risk. We're speaking with Professor of Political Science at University of Toronto. He's an expert on Iranian-Canadian relations, Ramin Jahanbegloo. One more on the soccer front, then I'll cut towards Iran proper, in essence. But yeah, the comment from Ehsan Hajsafi is their captain, and he said this: they should know that we are with them, meaning the women of Iran, and we support them, and we sympathize with them. We have to accept the conditions in our country are not right and our people are not happy. But to our point in our conversation, some don't mind. Some are happy. Is he under scrutiny? Will he face penalty or scrutiny for those comments when he returns?
I think they will all be under scrutiny. I think the Iranian government will continue to put a lot of pressure on the Iranian national team, as they have done in the past. And whatever they do, they might risk some retaliations. But I think that Iranian protesters, which inside Iran and outside Iran, they're asking a lot from these soccer players because actually they represent symbolically, they win in pride. So they certainly will be under a lot of pressure. And I have to add for people who might not, a lot of people of your listeners who do not understand Persian, during the game against England, actually they were addressed by the protesters in the stadium as dishonorable, a term which was used these days in Iran against against the security officers. So this is too much. I mean, you go to a stadium and instead of chanting for the soccer players, you call them dishonorable. I mean that's why they were confused, and we have to understand that the loss they had, this is the greatest loss they have ever had in a international tournament. 6-2.
Yeah, we'll see how they are tomorrow. You mentioned, before you go, you mentioned South Africa and apartheid, and that's very much, me growing up, talking about in high school, talking about it in university. And we really pushed South Africa onto an island. We banned them from participating in Olympics. We banned them from World Cups. And I think their people got tired of that. And they said, well, why don't we have more of a democracy? Maybe what we are doing is right. It took a majority of people to say, we want to be able to be on the world stage. We want people to, come play concerts. Remember, it was a big campaign not to play Sun City. Yeah. That was a big song. What changes could possibly happen in a country like Iran? Are there any comparisons between South Africa realizing they wanted to be more part of the world than they are? They didn't want to be walled off and isolated.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're very right. Actually, I call this moment the apartheid moment of Iran because it's a moment that, and I have to say that Canada is on the good side because it has been very dignified in what they've been doing. And, I think that this is a moment that Iranian protesters are asking for more boycotts, more sanctions, not letting in or the people who have collaborated with the Iranian regime. So it's very important that the international solidarity is very important, as it was for the South Africa. At the end, Mandela himself, he said that it helped us a lot. So Iranians, they need the same help today.
Ramin, thanks so much for the time today. I hope you you have a great day. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much. Yes.
You bet. Ramin Jahan Biglu joining us, professor of political science at U of T. All right, a lot of texts in. We brought up the New York Times op-ed on Thanksgiving. Three things. Be the best guest at Thanksgiving dinner. Bring these three things. I'll read you some of the text, but it struck me again. Bring an apron. It's almost that sort of, that eliminates that sort of empty gesture thing. The empty gesture thing that was documented on a very famous Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
She's doing a lot better.
Really?
Yeah, I'm really glad we took her out of that mental institution.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I'm excited.
If there's anything I can do, you let me know.
You know what? There is something you can do.
What?
Yeah, you can come over today at 1 o'clock and visit with her.
Visit her?
Yeah.
What, are you kidding?
Why, you didn't mean it?
Of course not.
Why did you say it then?
It was something, an empty gesture. It was something to say.
Guess what? You said it. Be there at 1 o'clock.
Sheba, as the, I'm not the king, but I'm the prince of empty gestures. when I wander into a kitchen, I'm like, hey, is there anything you need help with? I say it so meekly that usually people don't do what was done right there. And I get put to the task. It's like, guess what? You said it. You're on squash and turnip duty. And I'm like, oh, my God, why did I say anything?
Don't offer then.
I don't want to. I'll bring you a bottle of wine and someone.
That's it. Then sit on the couch, pour yourself a glass.
Someone brought up an amazing point. Bring rubber gloves and help with the dishes afterwards. I'm the king of the dishes. I love it. It gives me such satisfaction. Cooking doesn't.
But look, people. A lot of people are texting and saying I would feel very insulted. Yeah, I'd feel threatened if somebody showed up with an apron. Doesn't mean they want to take over your meal. It depends who it was. I'll be honest with you. Let's be honest here. Let's say my mother-in-law showed up with an apron, I'd have a problem with it.
Yeah, what if she started rearranging your shelves and the canned goods were in the wrong place?
I don't mind that.
I know a lot of women that do.
No, that I don't care about. Well, no, don't touch my canned goods if you're rearranging
That's
my,
what I'm telling you. Yeah. Hey, I think the bread and the cereal are in the wrong place. I'm just going to make some movements here.
No, but she wouldn't do that. She wouldn't do that. But if she just showed up with an apron and just took over one of the stove, I'd feel a little insulted. But honestly, she's 1,000 times a better cook than I am. So I'd be like, okay,
It is that.
Maybe she should just take over.
It is that feeling when your father-in-law comes in and he's like, you know, I think there's a leaky. I feel like there's a leak in your
really?
Sink or
so
a
you'd be insulted by that?
I'm not. I'm so intimidated. I used to be so intimidated by.
Okay, tell us about the other two items.
Yeah. Now, the other two items I think are less controversial than the apron. Bringing an apron to somebody else's holiday meal is and wearing it into the house.
Yeah, that's weird.
Moxie. Your own take-home containers for leftovers. Smart.
Yeah, that's
sensible.
Very smart.
Take those snap lid containers. Make that work. Now, here's the big one. A handy stain remover. Do you bring your own OxyClean?
This is stupid. Someone pulls OxyClean.
Do you bring
out
a separate? How intense are you going to be eating? Do you bring a separate set of clothes?
They're tied
to change out of. Are you wearing a plastic bag while you're getting into the gravy bowl?
You got to bring your stretchy pants.
Oh, I'm all about stretchy pants at Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you want to dress nice maybe for the dinner if you're headed to someone else's Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, and then you're like, yeah, where's those sweats?
Yeah.
Where's the hoodie?
Because you got something's got to give.
A slanket?
But if someone pulled out a slanket.
It depends how much you eat. You know, if the tryptophan will kick in at a
someone pulled out like a Tide pen from their purse and started like going around my house, that would be really, I'd be like, you know what, you miss this spot. While you're at it, can you get the basement couches?
I'm telling you, every woman listening who's married is thinking of the woman they resent the most that's like a friend of one of her husband or married to one of her husband's friends. Yeah. And my heavens, there's like apron, Tide pen, OxyClean.
You're going to cook the Brussels sprouts that way?
Fists are going to be... Exactly. Oh, you do potatoes like that?
No, you guys are terrible. This is what...
I've seen it.
Women, yeah. No.
It's happened.
Then that person shouldn't be in your house.
Maybe there should be like a stain station by the front door where you leave.
No,
you leave
walks
all
in,
you
know, it should be
like
all
a bowl
love.
Of candy.
You're missing the point, guys. To be grateful, to have a great meal together, to laugh together. That's the point.
We always miss the points, but it's par for the course on Toronto Today.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.